My name's Adele Onyango, and welcome to another episode of Legally Clueless. No, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Welcome to this episode of Legally Clueless. Here's what's coming up.
The pay at first was not making sense because she was also, I don't know how to put it, but I felt like she was using me to earn from what I used to be paid. Like, she took the contract, and the money that she was being given, she was not giving me the full amount. So she was being given, let's say she was being given like 200 G's. She used to give me 10 G's. Yet I'm the one who was doing most of the work. I was the one who was going there every day by 6 a.m. I was the one who was going, I was doing the requisition. I was the one who was doing the emails. I was the one who was doing the hairstyle of the episode.
That is part two of Johnny the Hairdresser's story. We're going to jump into it a little later in this episode. First and foremost, OG members, I am sending you nothing but love. If you have just discovered us, welcome, welcome, welcome to this family. Audio episodes of this particular show go out on Monday. And then on Wednesdays, we have the Midweek Teas, where I unpack different topics that I think can help you on your healing journey. Our newsletter also goes out on Wednesdays, so make sure you sign up for it on our website. A link is in the show notes. And on Thursdays, we have For Manless Women. I don't know why I sang that. We have For Manless Women, which is our show where we have different African women come in and share their expertise and inspiration with you. And we are currently journeying across Africa. So we started off in Ghana. Then we went to South Africa, Pretoria to be precise. Then we went to Nigeria with the Oddity. And then we went to Zimbabwe. And this coming week, we're going to be in South Africa, Joburg, to be precise. These episodes are so inspiring. The women from those countries are just chef's kiss, chef's kiss. Ugh. And I'm loving all your comments on the episodes. Thank you so much for showing the show and the women who come on the show so much love. Okay, so make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this on so you don't miss out on all the goodness that we are cooking up for you. I have two things to share before we jump into part two of Johnny's story. The first one is, please follow us on our socials. They're also linked in the show notes because we're going to be dropping a wait list for something super exciting that we have never done before this week. It's going to be dropped on our social media. So if you want to be the first to be part of this exclusive space, follow us on Insta and on TikTok. It's our warm, fuzzy, safe corner of the interwebs. They are linked in the show notes. That's one. The second thing is coming up on the 25th of July is our next wellness talk, and it's all about divorce care. The guest speaker is my personal therapist, Faith Gushu, and she's going to be taking us through when the marriage ends, how do you start finding yourself again? I'm very proud of us for tackling this topic head on because there's just so much shame around divorce and so much shame around you as a divorcee standing out to say, okay, I need help. Let me reach out to spaces that can help me. Because it's something that you're told not to say loudly because people are going to judge you, shame you, etc. Forget that. Guys, we're really committed to a new generation of shame-free women. I'm a divorcee. It's an experience. Going through divorce, it's an experience that made me meet the best version of me because of the work that I did with Faith during and after my divorce. The work that I did with her entailed navigating all of the losses, not only the loss of a partner, but there's so many other losses that come to the surface when you're going through divorce. And so this wellness talk is for anyone navigating divorce, separation. Maybe you're supporting someone who's going through that journey. And we're going to explore the many layers of grief that come with divorce. How do you rebuild your identity after that relationship ends? How do you start processing the shame and the self-blame? If you have kids, what does healthy co-parenting look like? Is it a unicorn? Is it something that doesn't exist? Or can we actually create it? How do you learn to trust yourself again? I love this one. I love it so much because I'm smack at the peak of that. Dating after divorce. Hey, because it's quite something. It is quite something. Anyway, let me not tell my stories yet. We're also going to be looking at how do you build a life that genuinely feels like yours again. So it's a safe space. It's a compassionate space. And you don't have to come as anything other than yourself. There's even an opportunity during the wellness talk for you to ask Faith any questions you have anonymously. Tickets are 1,000 bob only, and it's virtual. So wherever you're listening to this on, you can jump in, join us, okay? And you can grab your tickets right now. Link is in the show notes. Remember, we try and keep our wellness talks to be intimate. So tickets are running out fast and we have a limited number just because we want to keep it nice, tight, and intimate. So if I were you, I would grab my ticket right now. Okay, let's jump into Johnny's story. We are about to jump into part two. If you have not listened to part one, please listen to the previous episode so that like you're not floating in this one. But he did share in part one what it was like growing up as a young child who was more feminine than society wanted him to be, how he navigated and survived relentless bullying, you know, making that huge decision to turn down going to university in order to pursue hairdressing. And so this time around, we're going to pick up his story as he enters the industry with almost nothing except determination. And he discovers that this success thing isn't just about talent. Sometimes it's about knowing when to stay, when to leave, when to bet on yourself. 100 African stories on Legally Clueless. Stories from Africa.
So I left that guy. He was like, don't, if you leave, you know, you cannot be accepted anywhere else. Like small threats. And I'm like, it's fine. If worse comes to worse, I'll just go to Strathmore either way. So I went to Mombasa Road. That salon was in a mall. It was a bit better. The staff were a bit more professional. Went there as an intern. Within 2 months, I proved to them that I can do more than being an intern. So I was doing all the services. And in such high-end salons, we have different departments. There's the braiding department, barbering department, coloring and chemical services. Then there is the massage. Now, for me, I used to do everything. So when I get a client, just first come, first serve basis. When you get there earlier than anyone else, you'll get the first client. When the first client comes, we'll be assigned them to you. So I used to get there very early. By 6, I was there because I was used to 6, but now the call time in this salon was 9. So I go there by 6, do what I'm supposed to do. I get the first clients. And in a span of, I think, 3 months or 4 months, I started earning commissions of 70,000, 50,000. Yes, things escalated. Yes. From 4,800, I went now to start earning. And that's my commission. Now that's after my... Because, you know, in salon setups, normally they work with commission. So if you get a client who they are charging 3,500, 40% is yours, 60% is the salon's owner. So if you earn 50,000 as your commission, how much have you brought to the salon? Yes. So, and the owner was so impressed. She was like, oh my God, Johnny, clients love you. They want the, because now I went there with the new age technique, not the technique that they are used to. I was the first person to introduce them to wigs. They've never seen a wig before. I was the first person to like sew in a human hair on a client. I was doing styles, bob. Like, I was doing above and beyond. Kierere. I was putting myself forward so much. So they were so intrigued with that. We used to be awarded as the braider or the hairstylist of the month. And all for like 3 months consecutively, I was nominated and I won with a bonus of like 5K, 10K on top. So I really, really worked so hard to earn. So I started sending money back home. I told my mom, this is my first salary. I remember the first salary I got was like 40K. 40,000 Kenyan shillings from 4,800. So it was like 10 times more. Because that day I told my brother, don't contribute rent for this month. I'll sort it, everything. Then I told my mom, I got my first paycheck today. I've sent you something small. Something small was like 10 G's. And she was happy. So things went well. Started getting higher commissions, 100K. Like, things are looking good. We even moved out from our house. We went to a better house with my brother. Like, things were now getting better. And in the same light, I got a call from K24 Media House, and they were like, hi, we got your contact from Ashley's. We always pick the top 3 students every year to come intern to our station. And they were like, and the internship, you'll be paid. I was like, how much? 30,000. For how long? For, we only need 2 hours of your day. So I was like, you want to pay me 2 hours of my day? 30,000. And we're like, yeah, come. When are you available? I said, today. So after work, I told my boss at the salon, I told her, I got a job from K24. They want me to be their hairstylist. She was like, go, Johnny, go. Don't feel like you are doing anything wrong. Just go. I want you to grow. She was very so supportive, Aki. She was like rooting for me. She was like, Johnny, we don't deserve you here at this salon. They were like, Johnny, you came and showed us things we've never seen. So you just go, then let me know. In my mind or in my head, I was like, I want to show my mom the full potential that I have. I did not look about the money, honestly, at that time. And I knew K24 was strategically the best position to put myself into. Why? Because of these celebrities that I was styling, the news anchors. You see? And I went there and I was like, I will package myself as a celebrity hairstylist. You understand? So I went there not because I knew this money was kidogo. It was little. Because I was like, I'm getting commissions of 50K, 70K. On a bad day, I would go home with 50K. On a good day, I'll go home with 150. So I was like, this 30 is pocket change to me. I used to get clients who used to tip me 20 G's. Real. They used to tip me 10K, 5K. Yeah, like the tip was the salary from K24. But I wasn't there for the money. My end goal was to show my mom that, you see, I'm even styling Betty Chalo. Mom, you see, I'm styling Piera. Mom, Aki, I'm styling Nani. Like, I am the K24 hairstylist. And you know that time people used to watch news a lot. And people used now to adore the news anchors. Yeah. So people used to love the news anchors like in Betty Chalo. It was at that era where they were very, not like right now, people don't watch news as much, but they are still there. But at that time, Instagram was not even a big thing. So when you see you on TV, you are the real influencer. You're the real deal. You're a celebrity. I went for the interview, did my best. The guy told me, we are going to give you in 1 week, in a week's time, we are going to give you a call. 5 days after I was called, I was told, you got the job. And how do you want us to work? Do you want the morning shift? Because you remember, it was only 2 hours of my day. So they told me, do you want the morning shift, the afternoon shift, or the evening shift? Since I was still working at the other salon, I told my boss from the other salon, they have told me to either pick morning hours, afternoon hours, or now the evening shift. And I was like, I'm going to take the afternoon hours since I'll be there salon in the morning. Then after salon, I go to K24. And it was working, honestly. But now the problem came in when clients used to come afternoon. So I used to miss on my afternoon appointments. So the commission also reduced. It literally reduced by half. half. So from, let's say, 70 to like 35, 20, 30. And the other side, 30. So I was like, I'm okay. 30 from here, at least 20 from here. At least it was manageable until it became, now the K24 team wanted me to be there full time. Yeah. So at that time, I met with Akina Betty, Chalo, DJ Pierre Makena, Kaleche Mumo, Ann Kiguta. Hey, the list is endless. And then I started now posting on Instagram, on WhatsApp. Like, I was really, really posting intentionally to show people, yeah, I am Betty Chalo's hairstylist. And it worked. And people now are like, ah, Jenny, you're getting these big jobs. Oh my God, how are you in these spaces? Then I decided to be now extra with, I became friends with now the celebrities. So I was like, now they are small PA. So everywhere they used to go, all the events they used to go, they used to tag me along. And I was like, I kind of like this life. But now the problem came in when the payment was an issue. Yeah, they used to delay our payments. So you get like the first month, second month, you're not paid. You're being paid the third month. And the third month, you're being paid for 1 month. Yes. So the other side, the salon as well, I'm not as consistent than I used to be. I'm not showing up all the time. Sometimes I'm being called by the production in K24 in the morning to stand in for someone. So I have to take a leave. Like, it was not consistent. And the boss told me, Johnny, we can't work like that. So it's, you decide. You want to stay here with us or you want to go to K24? Where K24, you are not being paid monthly. Here you are guaranteed. So it was like an ultimatum. It's either you go there where you're not paid monthly and you have the exposure, or you stay here with us and you get your monthly payments. I chose the K24. I took that risk. Sister Nancy was mad. Sister Nancy was like, are you not thinking? So I told, all this time, my sister, my mom, my brother, my family was involved in all the decisions that I was making. So even when my mom heard about that K24 issue, she was like, but you see, there you have exposure. You have people who can connect you to other people. These are celebrities. These are people, they are well known, so they have connections in each other way. But this other side, you're earning good money. What do you want for your brand? I was like, let me stay at K24. But at the same time, since I'm going there for 2 hours, I'll now get other gigs aside. So I took the risk. I quit. But before I quit, the owner of the salon had told me, don't feel like you are not welcome. If things are not working on the other side, you can still come back. And that's one thing I respected her and I love her for her even to date. Like, I didn't come out of there with a lot of anger or bad blood. It was very, very cordial. It was very mutual. She was like, are you okay? We can support you. The first few months, things are not okay. Like, they were so, so supportive. So even me living there, I was like, if worse comes to worse, I have a home somewhere. I can still go back rather than the buruburu story. So I went to K24. I stayed there. I was a bit frustrated, of course. The cash flow was little. It was not as much as before. So it also affected our lifestyle, my brother and I. He was like, when you're not getting the big bags that you are getting. I was like, bro, I moved. I'm now in K24. So I stayed there like for 2 years with the same issue. I was a bit frustrated, but I was like, my end goal was to get like high-end clients from the celebrities. So at that time, Instagram was not as much, but I now made it something for myself. I started posting, tagging the celebrities. Every post, I used to tag them. Now I started getting now clients of my own. Now I get clients, house call. At that time, I don't even understand how house call works. I don't even ask for transport. Now, I came to learn in the job that you have to cater. The fee in the salon is not the same fee as a house call. So I learned in the job. We connected with other celebrities. Even they used to book me outside of K24. And now that's the payment is different because now they have to cater for themselves. I got celebrity clients, other clients from that as well. It was good. Until now when people now started fearing that I am an expensive hairstylist because they see me with all these celebrities. So I stayed there at K24. I was like, let me just hold on. So I'm getting clients here and there. I'm getting bridals. Then the third year, I was like, now I'm ready for now the outside world. So the relationship that I had built with these celebrities and the news anchors, we now became friends more than colleagues. Because we even used to go out together, used to go for lunch together. They used to tag me along all the time. And since I didn't have a lot of money to go to those high-end hotels, I was the vibe master. You have to compensate for the food that they are going to pay for you. So I had to do the most. I had to be the entertainment. I had to be the one taking care of them when they get, you know, a bit having fun. I used to carry their handbags. Like, I was literally their PA. But in the long run, I knew these are the people I'm going to get connections with. So there was a lady, a news anchor, who was selling hair, human hair wigs. She got a gig at a production house. So K24 was a news entertainment thing, but now this one was a TV series. And that TV series, the contract was for 6 years. So if you get that contract for the next 6 years, Brother Bernard, you are being paid. And she talked to me about it. So the producer from that show, it was a big show at that time. It was in Maisha Magic. I don't even know it, Selena, at that time. Yes, it was Selena. So, and I was a big, big, big fan of that program. Like, I was, like, manifesting it without me knowing that I want to be styling their hair. Because I saw something off with their hairstyles. And I was like, God, if I just get this opportunity to style this cast, I'll be in a better place. So my friend from the news anchor friend hooked me up with a gig. I got the job. I was given a contract. The pay at first was not making sense because she was also, I don't know how to put it, but I felt like she was using me to earn from what I used to be paid. Like, she took the contract and the money that she was being given, she was not giving me the full amount. So she was being given, let's say she was being given like 200 G's. She used to give me 10 G's. Yet I'm the one who was doing most of the work. I was the one who was going there every day by 6 a.m. I was the one who was going, I was the one who was doing the requisition. I was the one who was doing the emails. I was the one who was doing the hairstyle of the episode. Like, I was there full time, standby all the time. So I was technically there. I was the one who was even telling her, this is the wigs that I need. This is the hair that I need. So without me telling you to bring us here, you won't be paid for your product. But she used to be paid my salary and her hair that she used to sell to the production. So my salary, she used to, eat from there. And I came to realize this, like, after 6 months into the gig. And I'm like, wait, this is a big show. Why am I getting paid so little and I'm doing so much? And I asked my colleague, my fellow makeup artist, I asked her, babe, how much are you being paid? Let's just between two of us. She was like, I mean, I'm being paid 60 G's. I'm like, what? Like, yeah. And she was not like the head of department. So in such productions, they have departments. We have the camera crew, lights, wardrobe, set, hair, makeup. So they used to have a head of department makeup. They didn't have the head of department hair. And the head of department used to be paid more than the assistant. So the head of department used to be paid twice the amount the assistant is being paid. So technically, I'm supposed to be paid 150 Gs or more. Yet I'm being paid 10. It escalated from 100 to 0 very fast. And I was like, babe, but tell me. Because I feel like there's something fishy happening. So I asked her. I asked another, now my the HOD now for the makeup department. I asked him, hey, Brother Bernard, how much are you being paid? Because you know me, I'm an HOD. I'm being paid, I think, 120, 150 at that time. And I went and told the producer. I told her, hey, Mimi, I feel like I can't work here anymore because of the payment. Then he was like, what do you mean the payment, Johnny, and the way we are investing into your department? Every month we have to buy a human hair wig. We never had a department. So us giving you this budget, we've gone above and beyond to look for that money to give you. And you are saying that money is kidogo, is little. I was like, what's more than 10K then? What's less than 10 then? If that 10 is a lot, if 10,000 is a lot of money, is that all you could give? Then she was shocked. She was like, no. You are not supposed to be getting paid 10,000. You're supposed to be getting paid by like the HODs because it's a new department that we've introduced. And since you're the first person here, you're the HOD. So technically, you're supposed to be paid like the other HODs. Mark you, those other HODs have been in the game for CG 15 years, 10 years, 12 years. And me, I'm there with my 18 years of life. Because at that time, I think I was 19, 18. Very young, very ripe from there. So I was going to meetings with people who are in their 50s. Then I've been asked, Johnny, what's your opinion in your department? We good. So I raised that and she told me the best way we could work around this is by you resigning. Then we give that contract directly to you. Because when you resign, we don't need her. Yes. So if you resign this job, you'll remove her from getting paid. And now we'll give you that contract. And that's what I did. Cool. So they gave me the contract. They were now paying me the right amount they were paying me. Of course, she was mad. She was like, why didn't you tell me first? Why didn't you run through me first? Why did you go behind my back? And I was like, why did you exploit me? And I had even asked you for a raise. I had told her, atasinyongeze 5,000, Sister Nancy. Please. Since now I'm full-time. She was like, no, we don't have budget for that. I'm like, but I'm the one even who goes for shopping. I'm literally doing everything for this department. She was like, nope. We don't have budget. So I had that pain. I was like, you also didn't consider me at that time, and I'm not going to consider you during this time. So that's how I came to be the permanent hairstylist for that production house for like now 3 years. So for 3 years, I was fully on set. And while on set is when I opened my Instagram account and I started... No, I opened my Instagram account immediately after I finished college. I went to Buruburu. I was not posting much. Went to the other salon in Mombasa Road. I started posting a bit. Then when I went to K24, I started posting now the news anchors, the celebrities, the rinini, and the page was now growing. But when I came to this other production house, it was at that time that program, the TV show, it was a series for like 6. It went on air for 6 years. Yes. So we had a contract for long term contract, and it was so good. So I was like, I'll stay here. I'll post pictures. I was posting the cast. I was posting until it was now like a household name. Johnny is the celebrity hairstylist for K24 and this other Maisha Magic East production house. And that's when my page started growing. I started getting more clients. I started getting referrals. Other media houses were reaching out. But I was fixated into that because I couldn't take any other job because I was full-time on set. But on weekends, if I got a wedding, I used to sneak out a bit, tell someone to step in for me, tell them early in advance, send an email, because it was giving corporate, but creative version of corporate world. Yeah, it had structure, and that's one thing I wish most production should have, or rather most creatives, they should have structure. Business, strategy, they should have mutaratara. Because most creatives, they are very creative, they are very enthusiastic, they are very vocal, but they don't have structure. And that's one thing I learned from that production house. Even though we are creatives, we have boundaries. You are not allowed to drink on set, you are not allowed to do drugs on set. Literally, it was a very strict program. 6 a.m. should find you there. And if you misbehave, suspension for 2 months. Yes! Yes. So I learned that from them, the consistency of discipline and everything. And I was like, oh, the reason why this program is doing so well is because of this structure. So I stayed there. I didn't stay there till the end of the season, because I left, I think, one season to the wrapping season. I left because I felt like I wasn't free. I felt like I was doing the same thing every day. I wasn't allowed to do other things on the side because I'm full-time. I wasn't allowed to go to other gigs. Even if I go, it's like bahati nasibu. You know, najificha. I come back. I tell someone step in for me. It was a lot. So I decided just to leave, and I left the production house and I went to do other things. Now here's where the danger is. I've left that job which was paying me monthly, and at that time I even bought a car, like a second hand car, match brother Marcus. Yes, yeah. Within that production, bless them wherever they are, they really came through for the crew, because you know this is consistent money. It was good money, so you could panga yourself. So when I left, I didn't have a plan to, you know, what's next. I didn't have a plan B. Because I left, it was a lot going on. I quit, actually. It was not like a decision that I made over time. It's something that I decided enough is enough. I'm quitting, I'm going, that's it. Based on the ultimatum they had given me. Because at that time, when I was still on set, since the better part of the day I was on set, I used to go home and do content for my TikTok. So actually, I started doing TikTok during that time, 2020. Then it was, the content was trending because they are like, hey, who is this new person? It's a cross-dresser, it's a guy who is doing makeup, who is doing hair. Like, so it was, the videos were really going viral. And I remember the first gig I got, I was still working there. I got an international brand. They paid me so well. And I was like, oh, actually, this is nice. So I felt like at the time, my colleagues and the people who had employed me, they felt jealous. And they now started saying, oh, this is a family show. You cannot be advocating for family setups and all that. Da, 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 da. Yet you, a guy, you're going behind the curtains and transforming yourself to a girl. What are you trying to show the kids who are watching the show? Then I'm like, but I'm not even an actor there. I'm not even cast. I'm literally behind the scenes. No, and they were like, but you post on your socials. You are official hairstylist. So they called me for a meeting. Once the videos were trending, they called me in a boardroom. They were like, Sister Nancy, Brother Marcus, choose one. It's either you stay with us and you stop doing those shenanigans, they call them those shenanigans you are doing, or you go and continue doing those shenanigans. Remember, the executive producer was my friend. So before that, she had informed me, she had briefed me that, hey, unaenda kuvutwa juu ya the TikTok videos that you are doing. So do this. Say that you are going to stop doing the videos for now, like for 2 months and so that we can retain you, because I don't want you to go. And I was like, cool. So when we got to the meeting, I was asked by the client and the bosses, hey, Brother Marcus, do you want to stay with us or do you want to go? I was like, I gotta go. You could see the disappointment on the producer's face. She was pissed. Alishika tu tama, kasema, guy? What? Why? Like, she was talking to me through her eyes. She was like, no. And that's how I left.
Catch more African stories in the next episode of Legally Clueless. What an incredible story. That is just part two. My goodness. Johnny's energy is quite infectious. And I think one thing that stayed with me is that you've got to just be bold. You've got to be courageous in life, right? You've got to make that courageous decision because internally, you know why you're making it. And even though people around you might be like, are you being a bit delulu or like, what's happening? You're not doing the safe thing. You're not taking the safe option. You've just got to courageously make the decisions that you know by yourself is what is serving your journey, serving where you want to be, and only makes sense to you. I really connected with the part where he was talking about like taking a pay cut because he was committed to his bigger vision. It reminded me of when I was leaving radio. I was on a breakfast show and everybody thought I was mad, but I just knew, and I can't tell you how, I just knew there's something bigger for me. I need to jump now. And if I don't jump now, I'm going to be stuck here. I couldn't explain it to anybody else. And I really think no one has to understand your vision but you. And many a times we go looking for permission from people who have not made courageous decisions, but we want them to understand our courageous decisions. Like, make it make sense. You know, no one has to understand the vision but you. And sometimes you can't even explain it in words. It's just a feeling you have. So if you're listening to this now and you're grappling with a decision that needs courage, that is very absurd to everybody around you, just remember, no one has to believe in the vision but you. Next week, we're going to be jumping into part three, the final part of Johnny's story. And we're diving into now, how does he rebuild when everything that he was building is shaken and there's a bit of struggle in his business. And the birth of Sister Nancy and Brother Bernard. You'll meet those characters next week. So make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this on so that you do not miss out on that. But if while listening to Johnny's story, you felt that you want to share your story on this podcast, you're African, you've got a story, it is valid, we want to hear it. Fill out our storyteller form. A link is in the show notes. And one of our correspondents is going to get back to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this episode to the very end. I've got nothing but love for you. And I truly believe that you have every single thing it takes to heal. That's it for this episode of Legally Clueless. You can share this podcast with your friends. You can keep it for yourself. I'm not judging. Just make sure you're here next week for the next episode.